if you're not flushing, like, you know, Mike Tyson delivering a knockout blow,
then are you really flushing at all?
Scotch.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 114 of Coffee with Butterscotch, the game dev comedy podcast of Butterscotch Shenanigans. I'm Seth, and I'm the games programmer.
I'm Adam, and I'm a plague vector.
I'm Sam, and I was patient zero.
And today is September 5th, 2017.
Septum, like a nose septum?
Septum, like the guys from Skyrim.
Murphith.
The rulers of the kingdoms in Skyrim.
Called is it like, it's like the Septa, who are the religious order in...
Exactly.
...in that book.
Yep.
Game of Thrones.
And so, in that one book. That
or
one.
Like sepsis, which is very bad for you.
Yep. Yeah. And of course, it's Murphith, which is the date... Which is a number.
This is the god. The
which
old.
Is a number. It's not between 5 and 4, but it's more like under 5. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like on the number line, it's kind of down, tucked underneath there.
Yeah. So you had to like dig a little burrow and then come back up.
Yeah. Murphith.
That's right. It's Murphith.
Murphith.
Before we start, we have a warning. There's going to be profanity. If you're a child, go away. All right. Here we go. We have some news this week. Some big news, actually. On Thursday, something's happening.
Yeah. Thursday, we are announcing our next game.
All right, so moving on.
Yep.
Next.
just pay attention. Just if you look at anything that we do on Thursday, you'll see it somewhere.
Yeah, so, we'll be rolling out a newsletter, but it will roll out slowly. So
it's going to be a leak.
If you sign up for our newsletter, it might be a few days before you get it. But we will be talking about it on probably our blog, I assume.
It's everywhere.
Did you write a blog post?
I did.
Nice.
Man,
so Sam's on top of it.
This newsletter is going to be rolling kind of like that game that kids used to play when they had like a ring and a stick. You know, it's just going to kind of work its way down the road, you know.
Gotcha.
But it'll have to be kind of nursed along by a guiding hand.
With a stick, which is our email robot.
Yeah, because it's only a pseudo robot.
It's definitely not going to be like those videos where somebody's hanging out in an office and then all of a sudden a tire from an accident comes flying in through the window and smashes it.
It might be a little bit like that.
So it's, you know, in terms of sort of wheel metaphors.
I do hope it's that exciting for some people, you know.
It might be. We'll see. But that's happening on Thursday and beyond for some extended amount of time.
Yeah. So then next week, if you just like somehow didn't notice that all this has happened, because somehow you didn't read all of the millions of news stories that will undoubtedly be told.
Well, let's talk about this real quick. We have to question, you know, why are we announcing now? Because the game is not done.
Why are we announcing now?
Good question, Seth. You know, it gets questioned a lot. And
Sam. Why would you say now?
Let's talk about the mirror exposure effect real quick. So there's this thing in psychology which is called the mirror exposure effect, and all it means is that the more you see something, the more you like it.
Oh, shit. I thought it was about exposure to meerkats.
Yep. The more you see meerkats, the more you're like, those are cute.
That's true, actually. That was devised when somebody was around a meerkat and they just like realized.
I've been exposed to mirrors a lot, and I feel pretty good about it.
Right.
This is something that Coca-Cola does, right?
Yep.
We all know about Coca-Cola. We've seen one in a round. Yet every time you go to a movie or basically anywhere in the universe, there's a Coca-Cola ad somewhere.
Yeah, it's so prevalent that the first thing that we think of when we think of advertising is Coca-Cola, the company.
Yeah. Because they know that they're just making sugar water.
Let's be real.
Mm-hmm. And so
it's also got a bunch of acid in it.
It's got some acid and bubbles.
Yeah.
Sugar, acid, bubble water.
Yep.
So when you go to the cooler at the grocery store to grab your sugar, acid, bubble water fix for the day, you got a lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, it doesn't really matter that much which one you pick. They all probably cost about the same.
Yep. And they all cost about the same to your health.
Right. I mean, they're commodities, basically. You're just choosing between equal things. So you're just going to pick the one that just feels the most familiar, right?
So, the most brand loyalty.
Yeah. So here's what we talked about this with our games in the passage, that we know that marketing is one of our Achilles heels. What the other heel is, I don't know. We have a spare heel available for Achilles.
Achilles heel or some other.
Who knows?
Hopefully a good kind of heel.
Yeah. Maybe it's our Murphith heel.
Murphith heel.
And so what we wanted to do is just essentially get the word out as soon as we knew what the title of the game was, what appeared to be the direction of the game, then we're just going to go ahead and announce and let everybody know that's happening, make a big deal out about it, because the sooner the better is basically the truth. That as long as you're not giving misleading information.
Yeah. So our strategy is to basically not give very much information at all.
So what you will see on Thursday is going to be name, title, and you'll get some theme music with it. And so the goal is just to let people know that this thing's happening, and there's enough information densely packed inside of all of that that maybe you can find out something about the game, but we're not going to tell you anything about it for real. So that's about it.
That's about it. We also got, so Adam's giving a talk tonight.
A repeat talk.
Repeat talk. So Adam gave a talk at Pixel Pop Festival about thinking.
That was what, 3 weeks?
We did have a survey, and a few people did sign up to get that link, which never appeared because our video equipment failed.
Yeah, so we tried to record it.
We had a survey up?
As in for people to put in their email address and say, hey, I want Adam's talk.
Yeah.
Was it like two people though or something?
So, it was a couple.
So the problem we ran into was we got a camera that's like it's a good digital camera, right? Real high end, real nice.
Some would say it's a DSLR.
It does in fact record video, and it is advertised to be able to record video. Mm-hmm. It turns out though that because of some kind of a lobbying problem, that you can't, if you don't have something marketed and branded as a camcorder, then it legally can only record up to 29 minutes, 59 seconds of video, or 4 gigabytes, whichever comes first, and then it has to shut itself off.
These are American legislators hard at work.
This is doing good for
making the world a better place.
Uh-huh. This is no joke. So we were
this
in the
is
middle
a real
of,
thing.
we found this out, and then I think we found it before the talk.
The day before,
day before
the talk.
And we're like, oh God. And then tried to figure out how we could do so.
How do we
so
hack this camera?
We couldn't figure out how to do it. And apparently there is a firmware update you can get that, of course, voids everything about the camera.
And it doesn't actually fix it. It just does a better job at the hack.
Right. So basically it restarts the camera within a second or something. Mm-hmm. So you still lose you'll have a lurch. Yeah, for a moment.
Andy was going to try to do manually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it cut off sooner rather than the 29 minutes or something crazy happened. So we just went and we got a camcorder.
We got a camcorder, a real video camera that's legally a video camera.
In theory, we can shoot more than 29 minutes on it.
I think actually legally, I think we have to. Otherwise, it's a camera again.
That's true.
Yeah.
So it's
basically a still picture if it's less than 29 minutes of video footage.
Yep.
We're in a weird gray area here. So hopefully we don't get, hopefully nobody comes after us.
But yeah. So we're going to re-record it tonight. Hopefully I haven't actually practiced it yet.
You may want to do that.
Because we got a few hours like after work before it. So yeah, I was going to run through it a few times, you know. But so I think that's probably going to be fine. But I don't know how.
Maybe we'll just burn the evidence. You know? Yeah.
So if it's really bad, then I'll just.
So what you're saying is we took the time to make sure we got a really good camera.
And this was a future. This was a future investment.
True. We can technically, in theory.
This is not just all on me.
In theory, this camera is not a consumable item that once we record your talk, it gets burned forever.
Unless there's another law we find out about.
You can only use your camera once.
They are indeed disposable.
Yep.
We'll talk about, we've talked a lot about not knowing actually what the contours of a problem are until you get into it.
This is one of those things. We thought we have a camera. It records video.
Done.
We can now record video with this camera. Turns out you can't. Real dumb. Yeah,
so we're gonna record that for real, unless I just like truly utterly bomb it, which I don't realistically believe what's gonna happen.
Nah, man, what you gotta do is we got some maker's mark.
No, but here's the thing though, I can't because of my GERD.
GERD.
Is there a way to get drunk without consuming any alcohol? Is
that could go with a booze enema.
Put it in a shot glass and just hold it on your eye for a long time.
Yeah, that's teenagers really are doing that. I heard. You ever see these news stories, like local news stations, like teens, what are they doing now? And they're always inventing some drug and then some orifice, and they're like they're putting crack in their ears. You know,
my favorite thing is they always generalize to the whole
teen parents. Do you know what your teen is doing? Because this is what they're doing.
It was like that one stupid kid in school that everyone knew was just doing weird, stupid shit. And then now it's apparently all of
teens.
Our problems.
But I have to wonder, too, how many teens have actually put shot glasses of booze on their eyeball because their parents freaked out because they saw this news story and asked them if they were putting
shots in their eyeball.
Because who would think to do that?
This is the DARE problem, right? Yeah. So like there's this evidence that schools that had DARE programs, which is the program that supposed to teach...
Dare to resist drugs and violence.
Yeah, it's supposed to teach kids about the dangers of drugs.
Drug awareness.
But really what they're doing is they're just teaching kids about drugs.
Yeah.
Just that they would otherwise have no concept.
Yeah, they're like, here are all the drugs you should avoid.
Here's all the drugs.
Marijuana. Here's all the things. Crack isn't the same as cocaine.
And then they show these videos where they're like, let's say like you go to this place like where you obviously would be able to buy drugs. Because like, here are the reasons why you would think that you could get drugs there. Uh-huh. Right?
And it's so also really expensive. It's going to cost you like $20 every time.
$20 per gram or whatever, yep. You know, for this particular drug. And the kids are writing it down. They're like,
Got to save up my allowance for a little bit.
The funniest part about it is they always showed these in context of a bunch of people enjoying the drug.
Yeah, there's like eight kids and they're all standing around having a great time. They're like, hey, you want to smoke some of this? Right. And the kid's like, no.
And so it backfired because it made it look like everybody was partaking and that it was probably just like a pretty good time.
Yeah.
Although it turns out that is also true.
The message of DARE is everybody's doing drugs. They're having a great time doing it. It's cheap and you can get them basically everywhere. So.
But don't though.
Be sure to stay away from this.
No wonder it didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't pan out.
You know, if we can make a marketing campaign.
It's like abstinence only education, right? Where it's like, guys, come on. Sex feels great.
It's amazing.
It's incredible. People can't even stop themselves from doing it.
So you got to try really hard to not.
Yep.
All right?
Just try. All
right, cool. Just don't.
Don't do it.
Right, don't do it.
Yeah, if we can make an advertising campaign that works half as well as those ones backfired.
We just got to tell people. We just got to make
a DARE. Don't play this game.
Yeah, we got to make a DARE campaign for our game. We got to get government enrolled to teach kids about the dangers of playing
this next game
that I can't name.
Oh, yeah.
We probably should have announced it on Wednesday instead of Thursday so we could just say it on the podcast.
Hey, man.
Too late.
Or we could postpone the podcast. No, we're not.
Nope. Right. Nope. Too late. Decisions are made.
Also, in case anybody hasn't noticed, we all got diseased this past week. This happened.
Yep.
I've got a bit of a...
I think I came in on Monday.
A bit of a cood.
I came in on Monday and I was like, my body's
on Monday.
No longer
you last Monday.
Yes,
you and Monique and Tifa. I think
simultaneously.
Came
in.
We're all sniffling.
Everybody was like, "I feel it. Feel something."
Mm-hmm. It was brewing.
Then it crept. So let me tell you something.
What, Seth?
I felt it too on Tuesday. Then I go to bed. You know that throat feeling?
Yeah,
I've got it right now.
It's just right back there.
It's right there.
It's the worst. That's the worst part of the whole thing because you know it's coming.
And you don't know how bad it's going
to
be.
You don't know how bad it's going to be, but you know it's coming. You feel that pressure in the back of your throat. Kind of hurts a little bit to swallow, but it's not, you know, it's just like just the pressure. So I started feeling that on Monday night going into Tuesday morning. I was like, I'm going to battle this thing. So I did sort of all hands on deck. Dehydrated myself as much as possible, right? Because I'm like, I don't want any fluids for my body to work with to be able to fill my head with mucus.
You know,
right?
I don't know.
I'm gonna turn myself into a human raisin.
How it actually works.
Then I got to make sure that my immune system has all of the resources it needs.
So
I got real drunk. I ate tons of chocolate. donuts.
You did eat a bunch of chocolate donuts.
I ate a half pound of chocolate a day. Four donuts on Wednesday.
So your illness strategy was to dehydrate yourself and eat a dumb bunch of donuts?
It's basically an ultimate fighting version of disease prevention.
Were you like punishing your body for not
doing a good job?
It needs to know who's boss. And here's the
Why
thing.
Why don't we use that
here's
as a strategy?
Thing. Wednesday, I felt amazing. Thursday, I felt amazing. Friday, amazing. Saturday, amazing. I was like, I have never felt better than this. Then on Sunday, it was like I had been sort of like building. And then on Saturday, I was like, I'm going to cut back on my donuts and chocolate strategy because I feel like I made it. Like I overshot and I'm great now. So I stopped. And then it was kind of like I had been like building up sandbags and holding back the floodwaters, you know? And then all of a sudden... There's a little break in it, and it just everything just came all at once. Mm. So Sunday, it was a shit show.
It's
worst head cold I've ever had. So maybe if I had kept eating nothing but chocolate and donuts,
clearly that's the message.
That's the only possible way that I could think of.
Yep.
So anyways.
So for next time, I guess just eat more chocolate.
Well, there's an interesting point here. So all of us have gotten sick. Adam just started getting sick and also had one of the more hilarious mornings that he's had here.
I mean, it wasn't hilarious really at the time.
It's one of those, this was horrible, and in retrospect.
It was just mounting frustrations.
Mildly entertaining.
Yeah, but it did make me want to talk about the idea of regression to the mean.
Which could also explain Seth's chocolate situation here.
Yes, because here's what happened and why this is important. And I want to talk about this because I went through a sequence of events this morning, which started with traffic being just more intense than usual. So it just, you know, took me a while, which is always frustrating to get to work. So I walk in the door, I walk downstairs, I step in something wet.
Nobody
knows what it is. It's either dog stuff or coffee, but it didn't look like coffee. So it's
probably dog
stuff.
So
I step in something
dog
wet.
Dog deposits.
And then I go, and I'm like, and I go to the bathroom because I've just been in the car for 40 minutes. So I, you know, go to relieve myself, go to flush the toilet. The chain falls off the fucking handle so that it doesn't flush. And I have to like take the lid off and get my hands in there. And fix that, but it's like got all that blue stuff in there, you know. But it's like all up in the rim.
So now you're
like, I got blue shit on my arms.
Now you're covered in blue stuff.
So then I go clean myself off. And this was after I've been battling some really intense reflux for the past like 2 weeks.
This is what whenever we say GERD, that's what we're talking about.
Gastroesophageal reflux disease. So I've been battling that, and I like was finally kind of like starting to get it under control. And I also dodged this fucking cold that swept through the office. And then this morning I got up. And I could feel that too. Right? So all these things kind of happen in sequence, which was very aggravating. But I was thinking about it, and I was like, "Oh, this is one of those things that is the cause of other people saying things like, you know, bad things come in threes, you know, and like
stars
and feeling
aligned.
Like the stars have aligned. I feel like the world has conspired against you." So I thought it was a good time just to talk about regression to the mean and the nature of randomness because. Randomness doesn't mean evenly distributed. We've talked about this a bit in the context of
that's what evenly distributed is.
That's what evenly distributed is. Because when somebody thinks of like random, they think like, you know, they actually in their mind kind of picture something that's evenly distributed, which is not random at all. And so when we're talking about things like using noise in video games to make really cool maps and stuff so that the game builds it using randomness, the only reason those are cool is because
we put a fuckload of rules on them.
Well, there's rules, but also because randomness clusters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so those clusters feel non-random to us because for some reason, as people, we intuitively think that randomness means things are like equally spaced, you know? Mm-hmm. And every time there's a bunch, we're like, oh, that's a pattern, and we identify that. So this is also true just with events that happen in your life. So if you get hit by a sequence of like bad things all in a row.
Or a sequence of buses.
Or buses. or good things. Or good buses. Any of those things that wouldn't normally happen but suddenly all happen in a row, that actually isn't surprising at all. Because that's actually the nature of randomness, right? But if you combine this with this, the fact that we always seek patterns, right? Then the moment two things have happened to you,
which is rare,
right. But it happened, but it's rare like by day, but it's going to happen to you a few times a year, right. At least, right?
Well, and I think also importantly is you're not going to like maybe you stepped in something wet to like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, but
if nothing else really happened that day, it's not really a noteworthy moment.
But then it increases your confirmation bias, right?
Right.
Because now, when bad things start to happen, you just assume you're having an unlucky day right now, right? Mm-hmm. Or you go in your brain, you're like, oh, bad things come in threes. Like, now you're just waiting for that third thing, right? So now something that normally you wouldn't even have noticed or given a shit about becomes that next
it's
bad
just
thing.
Just the other bullshit you had to deal
with. Yep. Right, because actually, like, I have to, but the traffic this morning was really not much longer than it is on the kind of like the slightly higher side than average.
It's like an extra 5 minutes.
It's just like an extra 5 minutes, right? So really, like, that wasn't unusual. Completely normal, right?
Yeah, you were 3 minutes late for work day.
The toilet in the office is a little wonky, so I've like broken it a bunch of times, actually. Usually causing it to shoot water everywhere.
How hard are you jamming on that flushing mechanism?
Hey, other people have done it too.
Listen, if you're not flushing like, you know, Mike Tyson delivering a knockout blow.
Then are you really flushing at all?
Are you
really not? So like that's happened to me before. I haven't stepped in dog stuff for a while. So that was the one new event. Right. Mm-hmm. But they all just happened to be on the same day. And so for a moment I was like, oh God, this is going to be a shit day. Right. But I had to step back and be like, no, that's not how this works. Right. This is all independent events. And it just so happened today that they clustered, but further, it's actually now likely that the rest of my day is going to be great because it already was anyway. Right.
Right.
Because that was the most likely scenario. And there's this phenomenon called regression to the mean, which really is just a fancy way of saying that on average, things are average. So anytime something falls well outside of the average, probably you're going to go right back to how things were, right? So if you had a whole bunch of bad things happen, then now you're going to be fine again. If you had a bunch of good things happen, you're also now going to be fine again, but it's going to feel bad, like things got worse, right? When actually they just are back to average again.
It's true.
So, you know, I just thought it was worth talking about that.
So basically, now that a bunch of shitty things have happened, it's not like now all of a sudden
I'm not
a bunch of amazing things are going to happen. Really what's going to happen is your day is going to continue being a regular day from this point forward.
It's
going to
feel
average.
A lot better, right?
Right. It's going to feel better than how it started.
Yeah, because there's this other idea that people kind of superstitiously have that once you've had a string of bad luck, like, oh, now
go buy a lottery ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Now go buy a lottery ticket, whatever. As if you've like spent your bad luck, right? But really it's just because of regression to the mean, which is, it's just really unlikely for you to have a long string of bad luck, right? It's not that it becomes increasingly less likely. It was just not likely the whole time.
Well, perhaps this is actually where the bad things come in. Three's point comes across, which is which is actually to relieve people of worrying about it after like the third thing has happened, because
but
it's
it
done.
Also
like,
but it also makes people done. Seek the third thing after the second one has happened.
And even, yeah, like you said, even something that's minor you'd view as a much worse because you're anticipating that next bad thing.
Yeah. So anyway, so just all to say, remember the world's chaos and it's not out to get you. And regression to the mean means if things are bad now, they're going to get better because they were going to anyway.
Mm-hmm. As long as your average state.
As long as your average state is better. And as long as you don't continue doing things that have nothing to do with it. Because randomness has to do with things that are outside of your control, right? So if you're doing things that are in control that are making you worse, then obviously you're going to get worse. So don't do that.
Probably not. Don't do that.
Yeah. Avoid
don't
that.
Don't do those things.
Yep. Anyway, that was just good. You know, good.
Cool.
Reminds me of days where I'll break like one dish probably every like 4 months.
You did one last week.
I did. Mm-hmm. I shattered the shit out of a wine glass.
Right? I saw it happen.
Yeah. So things break. Things are glass things. They break. They're very fragile, you know? And sometimes when you're washing dishes a little bit too feverishly, you get a little carried away.
It's like slamming on that toilet.
You know, they got soap all over.
You're slippery, you're covered in soap. And especially wine glasses are very unstable. And if you're washing wine glasses, that means you might have had some wine. Which means
you are unstable.
You're
also
unstable.
And the more of them that you're washing, the more wine you've probably
had. You're unstable. Oh, and the more of them there are, the more likely that one of them's going to get jostled and fall over or something.
Or run into
or
another
knock
one.
Other ones over, right?
It's like dominoes.
So, yeah, I mean, I've had days where we've had, you know, guests over. This always happens when we have guests over because the sink is full of glasses. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's not just because they're guests over. It's because as a consequence, they're glasses. Everywhere.
Right. There's a lot of glasses and I'm less stable as in balance, right? And I'm washing, I'm slippery, I'm covered in soap, I'm standing over a pile of glass. Things are going to break, right? So sometimes I'll break three or four.
An image in my mind of you just covered in suds.
Just rolling around on wine glasses.
Broken glass.
You use your whole body to wash the dish.
Mm-hmm. You got to go all in on that. On
but it is really easy, though, to think just like, oh, it's just my luck. It's every time we have company over, I break a glass. It's so embarrassing, right? When it's like, of course, that's the most likely time for you to break a glass.
Conditions are perfect for breaking glasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just remember, the universe is not out to get you. Mm-hmm. If something is consistently
happening, this isn't about you.
Well, if something is happening that's consistently negative, right? It's unlikely to be the universe's fault. Let's just put it that way.
Probably a structural problem.
Probably your fault. Right? Probably a structural problem.
Maybe look into that.
Yep.
Or and if it's not your fault, it's, you know, a societal problem.
Or it's Steve.
Or Steve from HR being a dick.
Playing pranks.
When it's not random, acting in concert. But then there are entities that are acting against you. That is true. Mm-hmm. But the universe
That's a different
not,
thing. That's the Illuminati. Different thing.
We're just talking about
randomness. Like Satan.
Yeah.
Satan's a great example.
Satan, the Illuminati, things like that. I mean, obviously, those are the things that are literally conspiring against you together.
Yeah, of course.
We're working together to make your life a literal living hell.
There are lizard people, I think.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Lizard people part of the Illuminati, or is that a separate entity?
You know,
because how do they both run the government at the same
time? They're
both
very secretive. It's very likely that they both have sleeper agents and moles sort of infiltrating each other.
Or they don't even, they're so secretive, they don't even know when they're in both groups at the same time.
That's probably it. Yep.
You know?
Yeah. And every lizard person has secretly infiltrated the Illuminati and vice versa, such that they're actually just one complete organization, but they're two organizations that operate independently.
Right.
They think they're operating independently.
Right.
Because really they're doing what they think that organization would do.
Right.
In order to fit in.
Right.
Even though they're actually part of one big...
And then they report back to their original people, who are actually people from the other organization who left to go be sleeper agents.
Yep.
It's very simple. I don't understand why people get so confused about this stuff. All right, so we have one final thing in the news, which is last
week... explains why world governments are so dysfunctional. Because
they're all just lizard people who have infiltrated each other. And,
I think that makes sense.
It would explain a lot of what's happening. They all make an endless series of bad decisions because... they're all, every single person is actually from a different government.
Yeah.
And everybody has just infiltrated every other right. government.
We just basically shuffled everybody around.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, this would explain some of the mm-hmm. more recent happenings.
Yeah, because things have gotten
honestly,
weird.
I kind of like this. It explains more things than it should.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is a puppet.
Yeah, I think by Occam's razor, this is now the thing we have to believe.
The simplest Done. Solution. Yeah, the simplest solution is that every person in government is a mole.
Yep.
From lizard, some other
or a lizard person.
A mole person or a lizard person from some other government.
Or an Illuminati person.
Yeah. All right. So the last thing on the news before we get to some questions is the more person challenge.
Mm.
Last week, we got a question from a listener who was asking about selfless acts, led to a very fruitful discussion, which
bore many fruits.
Which bore, actually, it bore can, avocado. Wait, that's a berry.
It's a fruit and a berry.
I think all it's right. a droop.
It's,
isn't it a droop?
It's no. a droop and a berry and a fruit.
Watermelon is a berry. Avocado is a berry. Banana is a berry. Raspberry is not a berry. That's a fruit.
Coconuts are droops.
I mean, all, coconut, all coconuts berries are fruits, though.
Oh, yeah, right. It's part of the subject.
Anyways, back to the point. So the discussion actually carried on after the podcast ended when we realized that using the word self in the word selfless is probably the most hilarious insertion of the self in an inappropriate right. place possible.
Because the idea of selflessness is that you're putting others first.
Correct. And, oh, you can't even do it in the word.
Right. The so word is not others first. It's selfless.
Right.
It's got to still be about you somehow, right?
So, yep.
Just cut it out.
Yeah. So the more person challenge was basically just do a thing for yourself and for another person that you would otherwise not really do, right? That kind of like elevates yourself or elevates that person. So my thing for this past weekend was actually really taking the time to try to figure out how to get the most out of my weekend that I normally wouldn't have done, because we also got a question last week about weekends, which made me think about this, because I had so many projects that I know like have been bothering me, and I've also been bothering my wife, that we've had all these house projects we just have not taken care of.
There has been a huge pile of bricks by Seth's front door for
here's the crazy thing. Like, I took the time last year to measure all these things to get the exact right number of bricks, right? And then I just fucking piled them up and just left them there for a year. So we finally got around to laying these bricks down. And I was right. Down to the exact brick.
Yeah, I remember when our dad came up to help us do some like garden prep and stuff last year. And we had this goldfish pond at the house that my wife and I got. And we were like, we don't want a fucking goldfish pond. This is the thing we have to maintain, right? So we're like, let's just fill this up with lava rocks, right? Which sounded mm-hmm. cool. And so we're like, well, shit, how many of these do we need, right? Because it's a big volume. And I was like, well, just like, it's roughly a cylinder. So let's just measure it and then get the cubic volume and then just go get that many, right? So we did it and we were like, okay, we're gonna need 40 bags.
40
and,
bags.
And the whole time dad was just kind of like
a little goldfish pond.
Yeah, dad was kind of like making fun of me. He was like, oh, you know, just, and,
what are you gonna do with all these extra lava rocks?
And then we filled the back of his truck and we ended up having to make two rounds because it like filled up so mm-hmm. high, but the back of his truck looks like it's the same size as the pond, right? So we're looking at this and he was like, this just seems like too many. I'm like, so I did the math.
The math checks out.
The math it just is what it is, right? And then sure enough, we needed exactly 40 bags to, nice. To fill the thing.
Yeah, like it was right on the level.
Yep.
Yep.
So you got all this stuff done this weekend.
Yeah. I feel great. I mean, aside from the, you know, murderous plague
right.
that I'm under. And because I know that Sampy, my wife, had a conversation with somebody a few weeks back saying something about how she's just like, I've just given up on a lot of these house projects because we've got so many things we want to do and we just don't ever take the time to do it. It's like, I'm going to take the time.
Nice.
So I did. It was good.
Good. Well, you had. What you got?
I actually completely forgot about everything we talked about in the podcast.
Is what we tend to
afterwards,
do.
And so I forgot about I forgot about all of it.
We do operate very goldfish-like in terms of we record the podcast, and then minutes later we're like, it's as if it never happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it is already how I try to operate my life anyway, which is not trying to put myself or others like in relative orientation to each other in a hierarchy. You know,
mm-hmm.
So I just kept doing that.
Nice.
Good job, Adam. Keep on. So one of mine, which I think is a funnier one, is when my wife gets sick, even with like a small cold, she behaves as if she's got the Black Death. And so she's like, oh God, it hurts. I'm like, you have a sore throat. It's fine. So her and the dog both picked up some illness. So she picked up mine from this office.
How much did the dog complain?
The dog has just been sneezing all over the place, but otherwise he's just chilling.
Yeah, so just like snot everywhere.
No, he's sneezing, but nothing comes out. I don't understand. Yeah. How does a dog work? Thing.
That's weird. I don't know. They got very different nose structures.
Yeah. So he was wheezing a bit yesterday, which is hilarious sounding. But anyway, so last night we're going to bed, and Dinah's had this headache from this thing, which happened to me too on the second day. Had this headache that just lasted the whole day. And so that's where she was. And normally, of course, because coming from where we, like how we grew up, as far as how someone would treat you when you're sick, they're like, here's your soup, go to bed or whatever. And then you just kind of take care of yourself more so, I guess. Like you get your meds, do whatever. People don't really take care of you so much as you take care of your stuff.
Right.
Diana's family operate on the other half of the spectrum on that. So usually I'm a little more, you know, pushy about, I'm just like, no, I'm not getting you.
Take your drugs.
Take your drugs, go to bed. Leave me alone. But, you know, yesterday I was like, both my dog and my wife are dying of the plague. And so Diana and the dog both were very cold. So I was like, I'm going to get up. And I was near sleep, like 9:45, which I know is early bedtime, but I was near sleep. I was very tired. Near sleep. And Diana's like, I'm cold, which, of course, might be the thing where it's like, are you telling me to do something right now? But instead of being...
So you were just like, that sucks.
Well, that's what I usually do. Like, that's crazy. You should get
some more body heat. Get a blanket.
But instead I was like, let me go. Let me grab some blankets. So I went, grabbed some blankets for the room, and I put them on her. And then I was like, you're going to need more blankets. And so I went, I ripped off one of the huge down comforters from inside the closet, which is complete overkill for the situation. But for some reason, I just felt like doing it. So I came back in. So we had two down comforters just on her half of the bed. Dog was covered. Everybody was covered. Wake up this morning. She was like, you know, thanks so much for doing that last night, because I actually feel a lot better. She's like, you know, I threw the second one off like halfway through the night, but I think the heat helped a lot.
I thought you were going to say, and then you made a third trip and you grabbed the couch and laid that on top.
I just piled all the furniture on every
piece of furniture.
Yeah. There's a lot of insulation.
It's good. So mine actually came last night, but that's it. Same thing where I was like, I'm just gonna do the nice thing. Mm-hmm. Not worry about it.
Way to go. Way to be good.
Feel good. You know?
Good job, Sam.
Feel good. I felt like more of a person.
More person.
More person challenge. All right, so let's get on to some questions. These questions come from our listeners over at podcast.bscotch.net. So if you'd like to get your question answered on the podcast, head on over there and ask it. First question comes from Just Some Dude. Would you consider making your mobile exclusive games, such as Roid Rage, Flop Rocket, and more importantly, Quadrupus Rampage, into PC ports and releasing them on Steam?
If only it were so easy as porting.
Yeah, so there's a... We got a marketing problem.
Well, there's a marketing problem. There's just a general problem.
Tech problem.
Which is, so let's take an example of a game like Talfight. So this is the general point here is that...
Which wasn't on that list, by the way. Sadly.
No, it wasn't. Okay, let's take Quadrupus. Quadrupus is actually a good example, too. So any example of these games, any product that's not necessarily built for or with a particular platform in mind, means that if we want to go retrofit it, which is kind of what you have to do for that platform, there's actually a considerable amount of work that needs to be done that's not necessarily obvious. So in the case of a game like Quadrupus Rampage, what that would amount to is actually overhauling the UI completely. The game is also, the resolution's low. Pretty sure it's built for like a 960 by 540 screen. It's built for phones.
All our original mobile games are 540p resolution. And because at the time we were building them, iPhones were kind of the dominant mobile device, and it was 960 by 540 was the default resolution.
Which means potentially we might need to up-res all of the art, which would take a long time.
Yeah.
And then that means that Seth would actually have to go in and reset all of the sprite origin points
and recode everything in the game that involves positioning or movement.
Correct.
Which, by the way, is most things in a game. Yeah.
So there's all that and then some more stuff.
In the process, we'd probably need to make some robots to at least make that a little bit less of a pain in the ass.
And so there's a bunch of these things that oftentimes if someone asks us to do, we'll look into and then realize that something that even sounds like a really good idea just right off the bat, like, oh yeah, let's just port Quadrupus to PC. We do it and then we realize that if we want to hit what we would call a good quality bar on the thing, there's no way that we can just sort of easily punt it over.
Yeah.
So I guess as far as the possibility of those things, they're always possible, but they're unlikely to be done by the three of us, because the highest leverage activities we can do tend to be around making new games or making big new pieces of tech. We have talked internally about tossing those over to Shure and Tifa, for example, while we're sort of in between projects so that they have something to work on and that they can sort of cut their teeth on one of these bigger projects that has some structure already built into it. So
that would require us to be in between projects.
Yep. Which we're not currently. Because
we got that new game announcement coming on Thursday.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a weird thing, but probably not, I would say.
Yeah. Well, there's also the, we could do it and just put them up on Steam as is. Right. I mean, that is a thing we could do. But there's an extra marketing problem that we have to push against, which is we started as a mobile only studio and now we've moved into being a cross-platform studio. Mm-hmm. And if you look at our reviews for Crashlands on PC or desktop focused review sites, they universally rate the game lower, dramatically lower than what we would get on mobile review sites. Because of the perception of mobile games as just being worse, mm-hmm. like just being worse game experiences. And so we have this perception problem that we are now
trying to dig out of
where we don't want to be viewed as a mobile game studio. We just want to be viewed as a game studio. And so if we took the games as they are and just put them onto Steam without mm-hmm. doing all that work that Sam
further complicate the image,
then we throw ourselves right back into that hole that we've been trying to dig back out of. So we do. We may have some other plans for those games.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Who knows?
But maybe. It doesn't involve Steam. So, yeah. I mean, it may not. And
it might involve Steam.
We don't know.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
all right. Next question comes from Kulabula. Also, I want to say this question is very poetic. Mm. So brace your earlobes.
I'm braced.
All right. Adam writes, right? Ever finished a short story or novella? Shed some light. Submitted one to a publisher? And what genre do you like as a customer? I'd gander sci-fi. Might I be right?
Nice.
So, Adam, you write stuff.
Did you write a book?
Do you write sci-fi, and have you submitted to a publisher?
I have not written recently. Back in 2012, which was like a million years ago.
Mm, 20.
Shit, that was 5 years ago.
That was five years ago.
I did NaNoWriMo. Which is coming up again in a couple
months. What is that?
That is National Novel Writing Month. So I guess if you said it, it'd be
NaNoWriMo.
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 Rose off the top.
But every November, NaNoWriMo happens, and it's some nonprofit organization that basically just does this big book novel writing challenge for the month. And so your goal as a participant is to write 50,000 words, 50,000 words. During that month, which is basically a short novel, right? So mm-hmm. it's like 200 some pages or something. And the idea is to use that as a way to show, hey, you can actually, you know, do something of that.
It's
kind of
like a game jam.
It's basically a long jam. Mm-hmm. And then with the hope that maybe at the end you have a draft of something that you could then polish up over the coming months and do an actual novel or something. So I did that long ago. And did some short story writing
half a decade ago.
God. And did some short story writing after that. So, which is all to say that was long enough ago, and yes, it was sci-fi, that I would not that I would not consider myself a writer in that in a meaningful sense. Though I can write,
you can write, and you have written,
and I have written. But I am going to be doing NaNoWriMo this year.
You're doing it?
Ooh.
I'm going to do it.
Should we spin up a NaNoWriMo
channel?
That's
what I was thinking.
I would love
on the Butterscotch Discord.
Probably do that.
Yeah, so...
Let's do
that'd be awesome.
Well, it's November, right? That's the
November. We got time.
Yeah.
We got time. So
NaNoWriMo month is November.
Block out November.
And it is a little complicated because that month includes Thanksgiving break. Right?
Also, which no shave people, November.
Yeah. So you got to grow...
You got all of the hair.
Grow every piece of hair you have on your body.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to be as long as possible.
You turn like a mountain person riding hermit.
Yep.
Basically.
Yeah. Yep. People often associate No Shave November with like mustaches and beards, but frankly, I mean, there's so many places
anything
you can grow
goes,
hair,
man.
Mm-hmm.
Arms, yep. Legs,
other places,
back,
like your back,
yep.
Front,
bottoms of your feet, anywhere.
Yeah. You just cannot shave mm-hmm. the end, which yeah. is great because you could take all the shaving time savings.
Put it in
your book.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk to you because I joined for the 2012 one. I think I did it in 2014 as well. I've done it twice now. Mm-hmm. And we had a spreadsheet going that would track how many words you needed to write per day to stay on target. Yeah.
And it would adapt to how many you have written. So you'd always know how behind you were and mm-hmm. how you had to catch up.
And then you could see, and everybody else was in the spreadsheet. And so you could see I could see, oh, Adam like plowed 8,000 words over the last 2 days.
What
oh
a beast.
God. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to catch up. And it became actually, it was a really good, it was a fantastic little thing to do. So
yeah, it kind of helps have that societal pressure kind of put on you, like a friendly kind, you know, where everybody else is doing it. You can see where everybody else is. And so if you fall behind, you're like, ooh, I want to be part of that group that's like actually. Right.
So
actually
one thing I'd recommend before you head into NaNoWriMo, get your tapping skills up, because the reality is, oh, you don't even, you're not editing. You just got to get the damn words out. So it's all about speed.
If you can't type at 70 whippums, then you're typing.
It's not even National Writing a Good Novel Month.
No.
You're just trying to write.
It's actually definitely writing a bad novel.
Just a novel.
Correct. Yeah.
So something that technically meets the minimum standard word limit.
So if you need to go practice your keyboarding skills, go to keybr.com. So we use in-house to practice keyboarding fast. Not keyboarding as in piano, but keyboarding as in
keyboarding. Is that the website where they have that racing car game?
Yeah, you can race people. We destroy everybody in the racing game.
Yeah, it's not even a challenge.
Compete with us.
But yeah, so until so check out NaNoWriMo. I think it's like NaNoWriMo.org. Mm-hmm. So I guess NaNoWriMo.
Right.
.org. So check that out so that you kind of know what you're getting in for. And you can read about what other people have done, all their tips and tricks and all that kind of stuff. And you should definitely plan on doing it.
And
in the interim, get those types.
It did help a ton when we came to writing the Crashlane story.
It did,
because we're used now to putting out volume, which is really, that's like the only thing that matters. Honestly,
So I did that before I wrote my dissertation. Mm. And it helped enormously to write my dissertation, because that was a 120-page fucking thing, right? Which that was less about speed, because I had to be actually like done really well. But even still, like knowing that I had written 50,000 words in the past, you know,
it's not that big a deal anymore.
It just wasn't that big of a deal. And then now having done both of those things, like doing something like the Crashlane story, just wasn't that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. It was just a thing we had to go do, you know.
NBD.
So I think NaNoWriMo is great for you're going to come out with something bad, almost guaranteed. That's exactly the point. Because the whole idea is that you got to come out with something, and it's actually not going to be as bad as you thought.
Like I was pretty entertaining.
It'll be entertaining, but I was pretty surprised by it. Like I went back and read it maybe a year or two ago, which was then years afterwards, you know. And I was like, well, like clearly this could be a lot better.
It has some of the bones.
It's actually not that bad, you know?
Of a good story.
Yeah, and then you've done it right, and then you've written that many words in that short of a time. Which most people never have.
I think it's a transformative thing, just like a game jam. Yep. It is. It truly is. So
yeah,
do it. All right, next.
All right, next question comes from MKade. Hey, guys.
Hey.
So I'm married and have two girls. The only time that I have to myself is when everyone is in bed sleeping. Mm. When do you guys have time to do what you want to do? And how do you spend that time? You ever choose to sleep rather than game?
Definitely. I almost always choose sleeping over gaming.
Nowadays, yeah.
So I want to talk about my approach to this past weekend.
Yeah.
Because there's an interesting thing that I've noticed, which is I generally feel like I don't spend my free time in a way that I actually enjoy, like in retrospect. Like in the moment, I feel like, oh, yeah, sure, I'm just like hanging out, whatever. And then after the fact, I'm still stressed about the things I need to get done. I feel like I don't have enough time to do the things I want to do. And then it compounds the problem when somebody's like, hey, you want to go grab dinner? Or, hey, you want to, like, go do this thing? And I think, no, I don't. I have no time.
You're like, there's all these things I need to do, and then you don't go, and then you also don't do those things.
And then when I do have time, I also don't do those things.
Right.
And so this kind of comes down to the idea of understanding what it is that you put your time toward that actually you don't really give a shit about, which is usually where free time goes. It kind of, like, lands in these categories.
Mm-hmm.
And so... So this past weekend, we had all these projects in the house. I think I had a list of something like almost 30 things that needed to be taken care of. Errands.
Those bricks.
Cleaning stuff, doing a bunch of yard work and cleanup projects and stuff that I could just continue to let them sit for weeks and weeks and months and months and months. But then they'll always be in the back of my mind as something that definitely needs to get done. And so I woke up on Friday and I was like, here's my plan for this weekend. I'm going to not be on any social media or any sort of like online communities, I guess. So no YouTube, no Reddit, no like just none of these sort of time wasters. I've actually unsubscribed from Netflix, so that's no longer a problem. Nice. But also not watching any TV shows or movies online, none of that stuff. And once I made that commitment, then my next question was, okay, so what am I going to do now? And then I actually made the decision of what to do. So I wrote out my priority list. I walked around the house with a notepad, made a list of all the things I wanted to do. Then I just did them. And I got almost every single thing on the list done.
Well, let me talk about this real quick. So we have an internal tool that we call the Studio Feed that Andy built. And people pop in there at the end of every workday and sort of report on all the stuff that they got done. And people can comment. And it's sort of like it's not Twitter. It's sort of like an internal long form.
It's like a blogging tool.
System. It's really easy for everybody to pop in and see. And so yesterday I read Seth's post about his weekend activities. And on Sunday morning, you ended up waking up like 5 a.m. because you're pretty jazzed about life all of a sudden.
I just shot out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning.
You're like, I've got these things to do.
And then I programmed for 7 hours. And then I got like 30 other things done.
Right.
And this is while I was coming down with the Black Death. Mm-hmm. So
I read Seth's feed entry about this weekend experience, this experiment he did. And this was as I was heading home yesterday. And I got a cold. Again, family's kind of a little ill currently. So I was heading back home and then got home and I just said, you know what? I'm going to do the same thing. I want to make a big list of all the outstanding projects that we have that have just sort of been sitting there for a long time. And so I sat down with my wife, made a big list, and then we started redesigning one of the upstairs rooms. I ended up going out. It's dusk, so it's still bright enough to do stuff, but usually I'd be like, nah.
It's dark.
It's too dark. But I was like, fuck
and
it.
And there are mosquitoes. That's my main excuse.
I sprayed myself with this crazy thing called insect repellent.
Turns out there's a product.
Yeah, the stuff that I have just doesn't work very well. So
and then I took a broom around the house and beat all the cobwebs off of my house. I was like, spiders, be gone from the facade of this building. And then ran around and ripped all the weeds out of the yard. And this was a project. Both those projects have been on my list probably for like a month. But again, same thing.
And you could have just done them.
Could have just done them at any a long period of time. But I think this does get, it's these interesting things where part of it's knowing what it is that you actually find important to do. And I find for me personally, if I haven't decided that before I get to the place where it would be a good time to do it. So in other words, like
if you're deciding in the moment,
then I'm not going to make a good decision.
Yeah. You got to pre-build your list.
So I sort of have a running list now of just things to do in my quote unquote off time. And that even includes my gaming habits used to be very different actually than they are now, where they used to be more of that sort of aimless stuff where I'd be like, well, if I have nothing to do, I'll just hop in and do this thing. Just go play some Terraria or something. Now they're extremely goal oriented. So when I play Diablo, like I actually developed a whole list of things that I want to do in Diablo and I just have it on a sticky note next to my computer. And I'm like, I want to get this thing for a Kanaya's cube and apply these legendary powers to my body. Or I want to get the fifth piece of this armor set, which I'll do by doing these two things, whatever else. So when I go do that, even if I have 30 minutes, usually I'll walk away and be like, that was kick ass.
Yeah, I made progress towards clearly defined, predefined goals.
Yeah. And so I guess the question, like, how do you do stuff when your time is actually really limited in this case, particularly having a family, having two kids.
It's already, you have to already know where your priorities are and what your tasks are.
Before that time starts.
So you pre-decide what your projects are going to be because otherwise time just gets away from you. Because it turns out you probably have more time than you realize you have, but it tends to be spent on things that you don't think about, which means you don't even notice it's passing. Right.
So for example,
like you don't have any.
If you go to the bathroom and spend any time on your phone, if you spend like an extra 30 minutes,
deleted 30 minutes from your day while your legs are falling asleep.
Yeah. For some reason. And that was one of the ones where I cut that out months ago, or I guess weeks ago probably. And then I was like, oh, well, I could go beat cobwebs out of my front yard because
with this extra 30 minutes.
Because I'm not sitting on a toilet.
And you can feel your legs.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think part of it is kind of taking stock of where your time is actually going. And then, yeah, being prepared for that quote unquote free time, because it can be, it's enough of a vacuum and there's enough distractions these days that will automatically just pull you in. So if you're not already prepared, it's kind of like going out in the wilderness, then you're going to die. That's basically it.
That's true.
Yep.
You're just going to be killed. Yep.
Probably by a spider that you knocked out of it.
Oh, and there's one other piece to this, which is, it comes to the idea of batching. Mm-hmm. So try to set aside time where possible to do multiple projects, like back to back in one big chunk of time. And you have to be like a shark.
You carry the momentum forward.
Yeah, you don't. As soon as you're like, I'm going to take a quick, 20-minute breather to like watch YouTube.
Yep,
You're done. You can't get back out of that.
I still thoroughly recommend the tomato timer concept. Just you set a timer for 25 minutes when you enter into doing a thing. Just try it. because it, for whatever reason, it seems to help in terms of like getting your focus
on. What happens at the end of that timer?
Then you either don't notice it goes off because you're doing the thing.
The internet shoots a cherry tomato into your mouth as also a reward, like a Pavlovian response.
Yeah. But I would like to hear from Kulabula in particular, but I mean, anybody who is perhaps in a more time-pressed situation at home with
kids.
We
do need
family.
A real mechanism to hear from people.
I know.
You know?
Just tweet, comment, just like, we'll find
it. Well, this was from MKade.
Was it MKade? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So should we make an email address for this, or is that...
Maybe we'll have to do that next week.
I don't know.
But yeah, so if this is the case, let us know what does work for you. Because of course, there's the one wrinkle here, which is none of us are in that particular situation yet.
Yeah, we don't have cheese.
There's kiddos at home.
I do have a talk called "Do What You Want," which is about many of these particular things.
Mm-hmm. Look it up on
YouTube. Find it on our YouTube channel.
And I have a talk about how to decide between things,
which may or may not be up later.
In the future. Yeah.
Actually, by the time the podcast comes out, well, we still definitely won't have it up, but at some point afterwards.
Yeah, we got to edit it probably or something. So.
All right. So next question comes from Mia Kitty, who says, I feel like you need a
number one Australia fan.
Number one Australia fan, Mia Kitty, who's been our fan since
day one,
a half a decade ago.
Yeah.
Mia Kitty says, I feel like you need a non-work related question for a change.
Yeah.
Been listening to a 90s Spotify playlist and remembering my childhood music obsessions.
Oh my God.
Did you each have a band or
Spice
song
Girls.
You were obsessed with? And did you have a family favorite?
Family favorite. We played a lot of Alanis Morissette and Weird Al.
Yep. I listened to the Spice Girls obsessively. Don't know what
Ace
that was
of
about.
Bass.
Ace of Bass.
Ace of Bass was good.
So basically,
and Queen.
So basically, each of us had like... Once we were old enough to be in different rooms, because we were, I think, in the same bedroom until, I think I was in like third grade or something like that.
Yeah.
And we were all piled up in bunk beds.
Mm-hmm.
So once we each got our own rooms, then we each also got this like little stereo systems that we could play.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We could play CDs
with the double
on.
Double D batteries.
Yeah, but each of us only had like one CD.
This shit's expensive.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
we get like one every birthday.
Yeah, so
we
each
got, like,
pick
one per year.
So I think Adam had Ace of Base, I had Alanis Morissette, and I think Sam had the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
When did Weird Al come in there? Because there was a lot of Weird Al.
Somehow we ended up with Weird Al. I think that came a little bit later.
Yeah, we listened to a lot of Queen, and then our dad in particular loved the Bee Gees.
Basically just like 70s disco stuff.
Yeah, ABBA. Yeah, a lot of ABBA.
ABBA.
Mm-hmm. A lot of that. A lot of ABBA.
So cool. And of course, some Backstreet Boys
thrown
in there.
Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. Yeah, all of
them. Yeah, that was one of the things that we loved it. At first, and then we were trained to hate it by everybody around us. And then now, later in life, we have realized how much of a loss that was to hate a thing for no reason.
Yeah. Turns out Spice Girls, Backstreet Boys.
Killing
fuck
it.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Killing
Britney
it.
Britney Spears.
Britney Spears.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah. Also, there's a follow-up question. Do you have a current song obsession? Do you have particular jams you crank up to volume 11 in the office?
Yes. Turned down for what?
Turned down for what? Which, if you have not seen that music video...
Do yourself a treat.
Buckle yourself in.
You buckle your whole body.
Buckle your whole body.
Because,
oh, that's glorious.
And if you find things distasteful, maybe don't. But
you're not listening to this podcast.
That's fair. That's a fair point.
Yeah, what songs? I pick a song and play it on repeat for like 3 or 4 days.
But are we talking like office songs though? Because we got.
And then I find a new one. Yeah.
Well, we do play the final countdown at the end of the work week. As we're going up to the very last minute of the
jam
work
day.
Week.
We used to have the Miley minute.
Yeah.
Which happened at 2:07 every day.
We'd play some Miley Cyrus. But we decided that was too distracting to just like interrupt everybody in the
and be like, listen to Miley.
So, Miley's got some things to say.
She did
about
come
life.
In like a wrecking ball, though. So, I mean, it
she
was
did.
Appropriate.
She did.
For the lyrics
she just, but it was very distracting.
Shatter your attention.
We tried to do the Perry pause, which was Katy Perry. But Katy Perry, man, some of her songs are just way too rambunctious.
They're really whack.
Really throws the vibe off.
Every so often, if we're really digging into something, we'll play Britney Spears' Work Bitch.
That's a good one.
Particularly
good one.
Yep.
You know, it's very
that's
good.
A good one to get your focus on.
Uh-huh.
Get some video game music in there, here and
Gwen
there.
Gwen Stefani.
Oh, yeah.
I got to say, though, that Britney Spears song is real. It's real focused on just sort of like buying vehicles.
It's material wealth. It's all about vehicles.
All she cares about is just like having vehicles.
Yeah,
I mean, you
Bugatti,
only need one.
You want a Maserati.
That's
but
it.
But it does make the important point that if you do want those things, then you had better work, comma bitch.
Or just have like a trust fund. You know, just be born into an incredibly wealthy
family.
Yeah, that
works
family.
Also.
Yeah, I mean,
but
you
that,
do
that,
you.
That
you
makes
know?
For a longer sort of song lyric that's a little bit less inspirational also.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want a Bugatti.
You better work or not have to.
You better be born into an extremely wealthy family and have a trust fund and you can just pull from whenever you want a Bugatti.
Yeah, a little less inspiring.
Yeah.
Just a little less in your control.
Yeah. Or work hard, but also have upward mobility because you were born in a society that allows for that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So but those are some alternative versions.
Yeah.
They didn't do as well in focus groups. They did.
Yeah.
but there's also, we listened to the secret, is it the secret song from?
Yes. Oh, the secret levels
the music. Secret level music from Battle Block Theater, which if you haven't heard of, it's insane.
It's quite good.
It's very entertaining, very good. And it's just sort of.
I think what happened was they had the background music and they sent it to
Stamper,
who's
their voice actor.
He's their voice actor. Yeah. And they were like, just like throw some mouth noises on top of this.
and he did it
apparently in just like in one take.
He
recorded a bunch of tracks and overlaid them on top. But he just recorded it straight through. And I did the next track, recorded that straight through, just sent it right back to him, and they're like, perfect. And it's just mouth chaos, I think would be the way to describe it.
Yeah, yeah. Mouth chaos.
So
that's pretty good.
Last question of the day comes from Degeki. This might be a thorny one.
Mm.
So get your rose handling gloves on.
Nice.
Okay.
I was going to go with thistles, but...
Get your thistle boots ready. Degeki says, in regards to your elevated social platform, podcast, Discord, etc. In other words, we have a broadcasting mouthpiece that we can... send out to people. What are your thoughts about discussing social issues, recent racial and political tensions, supporting various causes, etc.? And how do you approach those discussions in personal life?
So this is one of those things that unfortunately we've had to talk about a lot more recently because of lots of crazy things that have been happening.
Because of all these fucking lizard people in the government.
Also, there was a hurricane that basically destroyed Houston, which is horrible.
But here's the thing. You all know all the things that are happening. Yeah.
There's lots of other...
There's lots of things that are talking
podcasts
about
podcasts and news outlets you can get.
Yeah. So the idea here is this is supposed to be, as much as possible, a place where you get to not worry about that. Because that's also how we treat our workspace, right? That's how we treat the office. The office, there's no political talk. We're all actually in agreement anyway, so which is... I guess maybe more reason to not talk about it.
That's true.
But the idea here is that if people want to talk to each other about that kind of stuff, like outside of work, that's fine. Right. But the workplace is about us having a defined space where we all are collaborating on the same problems, where we have the same issues we're working through, and where we get to just seek joy in the stuff that we're doing, which means mostly cutting off all the bullshit from the outside world that's always trying to do stupid things to us. Right. And the podcast and all the stuff that we make, as well as just in work.
It's a sanctuary.
It's a sanctuary where we know all this stuff is happening and we know, you know, all this stuff is happening. And there's a good chance that a lot of you, but not all of you, agree with us on most sort of political principles. Right. But that's not what this is about. You're going to hear us make comments now and then, like we just did earlier, right? making some little jabs at the world.
Perhaps
right?
a veiled understanding of what we feel about.
But again, that's not what this is for, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is going to intersect with things that we talk about. And for the most part, we'll actually just try to avoid those because that's not what this is for.
Yeah, I think that's sort of where we've arrived at it. And yes, we do have a platform, but we do think that there are not many channels these days that if you used to go there just to be entertained, that you can still go and do that. And the most recent one I heard about was actually in Splatoon, which is interesting. So Splatoon allows you to, like, before a match starts, you have to run down, you have to, like, run to the match area, and players can put, like, a speech bubble using iconography, like a very limited set of things. They can put a speech bubble on NPCs that are on the way. And so these people essentially, like, will say these things to you. And so apparently now, just with all the crazy stuff that's been happening in the world, you can't play Splatoon without having political messaging or just talks about even tragedies that are happening. Even if you're in agreement with them, that's not the point. It's just that you can't necessarily have some of that time and some of that space for yourself to just enjoy something else and not necessarily be poked by it. Because the reality, I think, what we've come to understand from working here is that most things, especially with the news today, they strike us very, very urgent and very, very important. And they might be very important, but the reality is most of the time, for most of us, you can't do anything about it. So the urgency kind of goes away.
So you could take on all the stress of the world onto yourself if you want to, but it doesn't help you at all.
Right.
And you can't help anyone else either.
Right. So our goal, and we understand that it is a particular position to take with regard to this all this new stuff. But I think the reality is if we started commenting on everything that happened, I mean, we wouldn't even have the show anymore.
Yeah, well, the way I see it is, you know, as video game developers, we have sort of two jobs. One is to entertain people and to sort of provide them with various outlets to escape. Mm-hmm. But I think we have another job, which is to make people proud of themselves, mm-hmm. right? And so part of that comes through our games, where we actually create artificial worlds and provide sets of challenges for people, give them the tools they need, and then they can overcome those challenges and feel pride, right? But also that's what our podcast is oriented toward as well, which is, you know, a lot of the stuff that we talk about on the show and a lot of the things we talk about in our talks that we give and stuff like that are focused around teaching people how to do things better and how to like get more out of life and just how to live in a way that you can feel really good about, mm-hmm. right? So it's kind of like taking that game design approach and applying that to everything that you do. And so...
And I think it's definitely my belief that if we're conveying to everybody how we think about stuff and how to approach life and all this kind of stuff, if that kind of stuff is things that people want and they believe in, they will undoubtedly come to the same conclusions that we have come to because you're actually thinking about stuff, mm-hmm. right? And most of the stuff that you go hear and listen to that's about politics and all this kind of stuff, the reason it's even uses the word politics is because it's about bullshit of people thrown at each other, right? Mm-hmm. It's not actually about thinking about anything. And this is a podcast about thinking about stuff. So sometimes it's going to intersect with things that are happening, but we're not going to talk about it in terms of politics because politics is just bullshit. That's all that it is.
And put that on a mug.
And there's no space for that here. This is just about thinking through problems.
Yeah. So we're gonna keep doing it like this, and that's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Yep.
Any final thoughts on that?
Nope.
All right, you guys. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all the time we have for today, for this week, I guess. Mm-hmm. So we'd like to thank our studio wrangler, Monique, for putting this episode together. Our producer, Fat Bard, for making us sound good, despite us having colds and stuff. And the B-Scotch dev team, Andy, Tifa, and Sher, for continuing to build stuff while we're in here doing this podcast. Special thanks to our community moderators, who keep our Discord and forums running. And of course, we'd like to thank you all, our listeners, for coming back every week to listen to us. If you would like to get more involved in the Butterscotch community, you can hop into the Discord server at bit.ly/BSDiscord. Come say hello. We may even have a NaNoWriMo channel in mm-hmm. there oh, yeah. soon.
Yep.
We also have a mailbox. So if you'd like to send us candy.
Note.
Chocolate and donuts to kind of help us get over our colds. Mm-hmm. You can do that. Head on over to mailbox.bscotch.net. Also, we are in the midst of a review drive, trying to get 100 reviews.
I think we're up to 52.
Oh, man, we really tapered off there. Okay.
The US, yeah.
Yeah. That is kind of a problem. It fragments my country.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're about to start a big push on trying to get more listeners for the podcast. And so those reviews really help as a sort of a social proof mm-hmm. for other places to feature us and stuff like
Someone
that.
Someone did ask one of the questions that we did not answer was, where else could they give us reviews because they don't want to do it on unnamed platform?
Yeah. Yeah. On some platforms.
I mean, literally anywhere you get it.
Yeah, literally anywhere would be great.
I think you can review it on, can you review it on Google?
Probably.
Just look for like little star icons around.
Yeah.
Just wherever throw you get five
it.
Of them.
Yeah. Wherever you get it, if you can review it, just do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if not, then that's cool.
You know. And so if you do, so we are putting our focus toward Apple Podcasts to try to aggregate those reviews. So if you head on over to bit.ly/CWBApple, you can leave us a review there. So thank you all very much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Bye.